morning, everyone, and let me also say Happy Mother's Day to all mothers and to all women, spiritual mothers, physical mothers. Also, praying for those for whom this is a day of sorrow, too. Perhaps you have lost your mother or are estranged at this time. May God bring peace and healing and even joy to you this morning. Again, I'll say it, I think I said it every week, miss terribly meeting together. I thank God for the technology that enables us to meet this way and gather this way, as Michael so correctly puts it. A building is not the church. We, the people of God, are the church. And yet, as we'll see in our passage this morning, there is reference there also to the good of being physically together. And so we continue to pray that the Lord would hasten that time when we can physically gather again. It is such an encouragement to see all your names pop up on Facebook Live. And then also just a special welcome to anyone tuning in through the Holliston Cable. Welcome. It is wonderful to worship the Lord with you. Last week we finished our study in the book of 1 John. We're going to go on this week to look at 2 John and then next week to look at 3 John. They're very short letters. So yes, we will do an entire book of the Bible this morning. And we will be done by 11 o'clock. So we're going to see that John, in writing to what appears to be a church, has a very similar message as what he had in 1 John. And we'll see that again in 3 John also. A little bit of the background, if you recall from 1 John, similar situations are going on. In 1 John, there was a group of people who began teaching a different gospel. It appears that one of the components that they were teaching in that different gospel was, you believe in Jesus, but then there's another level. There's so much more. And then who they said Jesus was very different from what the apostles taught and who Jesus truly is. They were saying that there's a Son of God and it's separate from Jesus. And when Jesus was born, he was just a person. And then probably around the time of his baptism, that the Son of God came and rested upon the person of Jesus. And then before Jesus' death on the cross, the Son of God departed from him. And so there's a separation of spirit with physical world. And part of the reason that they said that, or that they believed that, is because they thought the physical world was bad, was false, and the spiritual world was what really mattered. And so that enabled them to go on and do whatever they wanted to do in the physical world, go on sinning in any way they wanted to in the physical world, because they saw that that's not, what was not important. And this group of people in the church, they separated out from the church finally, and it left great confusion and hurt in the church from when they left, and the people were uncertain what to do with their teaching. And so John writes to them to tell them the truth that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. That Jesus, as the Son of God, took on flesh at his incarnation. When Mary conceived by the Holy Spirit. And it is Jesus, the Son of God, also fully man, fully human, who died on the cross and who rose again and ascended into heaven and is at the right hand of the Father now. John reminds us of this, that there is a truth we must believe to the gospel, and then that from that truth comes love. So there's a belief and there's an action. Truth and love. And we'll see those two main themes, truth and love, show up in this very, very brief letter this morning. So turn with me, please, if you would, to the book of 2 John. The second letter, second epistle of John. I'll briefly touch on, after I read this, in just a moment, on the authorship of the book and who wrote it and who received it. 2 John. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth. Because the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new command, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves, so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you. This is God's word. The epistle of 2 John. This whole short letter, John is focusing on what is of primary importance for the church, on how the church can be the church. It's on being the church of Jesus Christ. It's how we can live as the church. It's who we are. What is the essence? Boil it all down. What is the essence here? Is you can only write a short letter? Give us the heart of the message of what we are to be as the church of Jesus Christ. First thing he does in this letter is he has his greeting. And in this, we have to ask questions of who wrote it and to whom it was written. It says, the elder wrote it. Now at this time when this was most likely written, probably most of the apostles had already passed away. John is known to have been probably the last living apostle. He was very young when he followed Jesus. And he is now quite elderly and possibly one of the only apostles left. The church is growing very, very rapidly. New churches are popping up here and there all over the place. And if the apostles, as they start to die in their natural death, all this other teaching was coming up. So there was such a great need to reaffirm the truth and help these new churches to stand with the truth of who Jesus is. And so we see the elder. Now, the language that's used in this passage, I hope that it was familiar to you. So much of this language is the same as comes from 1 John, and it's so much the same that comes from the Gospel of John. Throughout the history of the church, there's rarely been any debate about who... Sorry, take that back. Since the very earliest days of the church, John has been known to be the elder, the one associated, who wrote 2 John as well as 1 John and the Apostle, and the Gospel of John, as well as, I suggest to you, the book of Revelation. That this is the Apostle John writing. And it says he's writing to the elect lady and her children. Now, it's possible that there's an individual person. Many people have tried to think and try to figure out who the specific person was that he is writing to here. Speaking of elect, that is language that is used for the church. The word lady here is the female version of Kyrie, Lord. So it could be that this is part of a person's name in some ways, or a title that they have. But I think that what John is probably, and again, this isn't for sure, but probably I think what John is the language he's using here is the elect lady is referring to a church. I think a church as opposed to the church in general, because of the closing, he sends a greeting from the elect sister, which would be, I think, another church. Again, these could be people, but I think these are actually churches. And then if he's writing to the elect lady, the church, who are the children? The children are the people, are the Christians that are part of that church. I believe he is writing to an individual church, to the members of the church, the body, the people, the Christians as who are part of this local congregation, because they have suffered much by these deceivers. And he's writing them the essence, the core of the gospel, the core of who they are in Christ and what they are to be about, to encourage them, to strengthen them, and to help them. Well, the first part of his message in verses 4 through 6, he calls them to walk in truth and love. Walk in truth and love. And here we see those two themes, truth and love. What we believe, the truth, how we live, love. And this is his call. He says he rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth. Some were deceivers and weren't and had to leave. But that there are some in the church who stayed firm to the gospel. Now he asks you, now I ask you, dear lady, not that I'm writing you a new commandment, it's one you've heard from old before, the one you've always heard, the one that Jesus preached, love one another. Walk in the truth and love one another. And those two go together. You can't separate those two. He says, obey the command. What's the command? To love. Well, how do we love? We obey the commands. He's not just using circular logic there. The two are inextricably linked. Believing the truth, following the truth, and loving one another. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That we are to walk in the truth, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died on the cross for our sins, that we are all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all who come to Jesus, that all who by God's grace through faith believe in Jesus are born again, are saved, that our sins are washed away and we are brought into relationship with God, that we are His children for all eternity, believing the truth of the gospel and then living the truth of the gospel, that God is love. And that therefore we too must love. The question I think comes up here, what does it mean to love? What does it mean for us to love one another? It's got to be more than just liking each other. It's got to be more than just having warm feelings in our heart. What does it mean to love one another? Well, I think one great place for us to turn briefly is when the Apostle Paul lists out and describes what love is in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I know that many this is read many times at weddings. It's a wonderful place to read it, but it's written primarily for the church, for us. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. The primacy of love. Now he describes it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That this is to be the way we love one another. Yes, husbands and wives, but each other patiently, kindly. Not rude, not arrogant, not demanding our own way. Seeking and moving and acting and talking and thinking even in a way that is best for another. Giving up even our own rights for the sake of another. Not trying to dictate to another person how they ought to be loved, but seeking to know them, that we might know how they need to be loved. Love one another. The second main part, second and final main part of the body of John's letter here, is he teaches us and wants us to know how we are to deal with false teachers. This church has experienced false teachers in their midst. How are they to deal with them as it comes around in the future? How are we to deal with it? We may not have someone right now saying that Jesus didn't come in the flesh, though there are various versions of that around. Many who will deny the essence of who Jesus is. How are we to respond to that? Well, John writes in verses 7 through 11. First, as many deceivers have gone out into the world, there are many deceivers out there. There is much false teaching. Think in your daily life, how many messages do we hear that are filled with truth and light? Whether it's conversations, bulletin boards, emails, texts, chats, snaps, what Facebook, wherever we're reading, whatever we're hearing on the radio, on TV, on YouTube, how many of those things are full of light and truth? Dare say almost none. We're bombarded every day with false messages. And so we must know the Scriptures. And not just know them. We must dwell in the Scriptures. Soak in the Scriptures. Daily. There are many deceivers in the world. Those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Here's what we do. Watch ourselves, so that we may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a reward. So first, we have to watch. Try to say it often, and I'm not just trying to be self-deprecating. Please don't believe anything I say. Please don't believe me. I'm not here because I'm a brilliant speaker or have great wisdom. I'm just a Bible teacher. And I'm learning the Bible right along with you. I don't claim to have expertise, to know it all, I'm just trying to study it and learn it and live it along with all of us. But don't believe what I say if it's anything outside of the Scriptures or if I'm twisting Scriptures. Come back to me and say, show me, Scott, where is that? So that's the first thing. We must watch, we must listen, we must be careful with everything that we hear, with all the input that we have. We must also be careful about what constructs of God we make up in our own minds, even. It's so easy for us to begin to have false thoughts about who God is, and especially when we keep them to ourselves, we can really begin to distort our view of God. Probably why it's so important for us to talk together. Even saying out loud, well, I think God is like this, or it feels like God is doing this. Someone else can say, that's not who God is. Wait. Something's gone on here. Something's been twisted. Let's return to what we know about who God is. We watch. We watch ourselves. Also, it goes on and says, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide by the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. We must take it that those who are rejecting the gospel, who are intentionally misleading in the gospel, that they're not of God. Doesn't mean that they can't repent and come and follow Christ, but they're not one that's going to draw you closer to Christ. And so he tells us again, or tells us further in verse 10, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, the truth of the gospel, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. Whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. So there's a strong, it's very strong, command, call, warning to us from God through the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit and John, that we are not to take part, we're not to welcome them into our homes, as it describes here. And this probably would have been a house church of some kind. So either it's into the formal gathering of the church or whether it's simply into your home. And now it's, you know, no one's coming into each other's homes anymore right now during this pandemic. Well, things come into our homes all the time through the internet and through TV and radio and all kinds of messages. We must be discerning. And do not allow false teaching to come in. Specifically those who would deny who Christ truly is. Well, John then closes with something I think is so beautiful. He talks to the power and the beauty of being together. This is part of his closing to the letter here. He says, I have much more to write you. He's just summarizing. He's just given the core of what he wants the church to be. Walking in truth, loving one another, being aware of false teaching. He says, I have so much more to write to you. God is so big. They're so big, as he says in the Gospel of John, were I to write about all the events of Jesus' life alone, it would fill up all the books in the world. But he says, I would rather not use paper and ink. So much I want to tell you, so much to write to you. The paper and ink isn't the same. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face. I think we just have to come to grips with right now, we're in a time period where we're not able to meet face to face. And we're doing all we can, I think, with technology to try to facilitate that, to try to maintain our connections with one another. But it's not the same. And I think we can acknowledge that. I keep using the word, it's sad. I feel sad. This whole season, it's a sad season. I know for some, it's been okay and fine and things are pretty normal. for some, it's terrible. I think we need to just acknowledge that. I think John seems to here. He sees that there's something different about face-to-face. And how does he describe that? The last part of the sentence in verse 12. I hope to come to you and talk face-to-face so that... So here's the result. Here what come about from John meeting face-to-face with the church so that our joy may be complete. There's joy in fellowshipping together. May God hasten the day when we can gather together again as we worship Him, that our joy may be complete. And until then, we grieve. But we do not grieve like those who have no hope. Even if this isolation were to last forever, we know that we are not of this earth. Our hope ultimately does not come in a quick end to the pandemic and to the quarantine. That's not where our hope lies. Our hope lies in Christ. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our hearts are focused on heaven, where we will be together with Jesus forever and ever. John sends greeting then. The children of your elect sister greet you. That's right. Again, as I said earlier, I assume is another church, the members greeting the members of this church. The core of the gospel, of what it is to be the church, believe the truth of who Jesus is, believe the scriptures, and love one another. Being aware, looking out for false teachers, and looking forward to fellowshipping together. By the grace of God, may we walk in truth and love. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. We pray, O Lord God, you would strengthen us in this time when we are physically separated. Encourage us. Help us to watch and to know your truth, O God, and to believe your truth and to walk in your love. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.